Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the Air.
How do we know they are not capable of understanding and of revolt?
Well, Doctor, something's been there. Smells like thunder, and there's prints in the road. Great round prints.
What was that? That great black man coming toward me.
We know now that in this world was being watched closely by intelligences cool and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes, and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
We're bringing you an eyewitness account of what's happening on the Wilmoth Farm, Grover's Mill, New Jersey. We now return you to Carl Phillips at Grover's Mill.
Ladies and gentlemen, here I am, back of a stone wall that adjoins Mr. Wilmoth's garden.
Professor, look, it's getting bigger again.
Okay, Professor, would you please tell the radio audience of this? A step closer, please. What would you say, what's the diameter of this?
Yes. According to these figures, it's bigger than it was before.
That's impossible. Uh-huh. How could a meteorite grow?
Nevertheless, it's growing.
Nothing's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, from here I get a sweep of the whole scene. I'll give you every detail as long as I can talk and as long as I can see. More state police have arrived. They're drawing up a cordon in front of the pit. About 30 of them. This end of the thing is beginning to flake off. The thing must be hollow.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the most terrifying thing I've ever witnessed. Wait a minute. Someone's calling something I can see. Turning out of that pole, two luminous discs. The eyes, might be a face, might be almost. But heavens, something wriggling, I don't like a gray snake. Now it's another one, and another one, and another one. They look like tentacles to me. Oh, yeah, I can see the thing's body now. It's large. It glistens like wet leather, but that face. Ladies and gentlemen, it's indescribable. I can hardly force myself to keep looking at it. It's so awful. The eyes are black, and they gleam like a serpent. The mouth is with saliva dripping from its rimless lips and seem to, quiver and pulsate, and the monster or whatever it is can hardly move. It seems weighed down by possibly gravity or something. The thing's rising up now, and the crowd falls back. They've seen plenty. The most extraordinary experience, ladies and gentlemen. I can't find words. No need to push the crowd back now. They're willing to keep their distance. The captain's conferring with someone. Can't quite see who. Oh, yes, I believe it's Professor Pearson. Yes, it is. Now they've parted, and the professor moves around one side, studying the object while the captain and two policemen advance with something in their hands. Wait a minute, something's happening. A shape is rising out of the pit. What's that? A jet of flame springs from them, leaps right at the advancing men. Strikes them head on. Lord, they're turning into flames.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast from Grover's Mill. Evidently, there's some difficulty with our field transmission. However, we will return to that point at the earliest opportunity.
By shortwave radio, Columbia now brings you reports from its foreign correspondents overseas with summaries of the latest world news presented over these stations by Golden Eagle Gasoline. Go ahead, New York.
Dr. Murai has told us how this dreadful monster, this calamity which befell our nation, grew right before his very eyes. In the recent past, we have had Godzilla and Rodan and now Ghidorah. What will the government do now? How will it deal with this new crisis? The people want to know, and they want to know now. So I call upon the Ministry of Defense, the Minister of the Interior, for a serious and responsible answer to this question.
General Waddell? The Ministry of Home Defense is maintaining a very close watch on the movements of these monsters, both Godzilla and Rodan. As for this new one, Ghidorah, we are working on a new technical approach to this problem. As soon as we finalize this new approach, we will, of course, implement it without delay.
The Ministry of Defense is making excuses.
What are these plans you're developing? We want to know how you propose to destroy these monsters.
Well, General, may I remind you, this problem is not one we face alone. The entire world is watching us. We cannot assume responsibility for authorizing the deployment and use of atomic weapons. Gentlemen, we need whatever help we are able to obtain. In this case, it makes no difference where we finally get that help from.
London, in many respects, has correlated its moves in the Far Eastern situation with the progress of the American-Japanese discussions in Washington. Australia and Singapore and other crown colonies have been made ready for any eventuality, and a Far Eastern fleet has been created, headed by the 35,000-ton Prince of Wales. For a direct report on British reaction to the latest moves in the Near East and the Far East, go ahead, London.
Admiral Brooks. Gentlemen, you've been asked to come here to supply us with any information in your possession which might be helpful. Nara Island has been destroyed. Reconnaissance aircraft have sighted the creature in this area here.
Excuse me, sir. That looks as though the thing's heading for England.
Quite. And that in itself calls for an explanation. You have one?
Well, we were playing a stream of water on it during the passage. It was Professor Flaherty's instructions. Maybe it left some sort of track.
I see. Is that possible?
Yes, it's possible. The Royal Oak for Admiral Brooks, please. Royal Oak coming in for Admiral Brooks.
Good. They report at least two direct hits.
You killed it?
Capsized. Sunk with every man aboard.
This is terrible.
Well, all right, now what?
What will you do?
Turn that thing at the Festival Gardens loose. What else? Take it back to the sea where we still got a chance. What the hell's the matter with you? This is the 20th century. There must be some way of handling an overgrown animal. There's no doubt that we can stop the creature. We'll call you if we need you again. Good evening, gentlemen.
Continuing on the Far Eastern situation, this time we go abroad to get a report direct from the danger zone, from Manila in the Philippines, which has been attacked, as we have told you.
CBS has watched Manila get ready for this attack. And now, for the report of direct from Manila, go ahead, Manila.
Hong Kong has mobilized completely and called out volunteers. Singapore's fighting forces are standing by, ready for anything. In time, the little buffer state between French Indochina and Burma, the tension reaches its highest point. From Singapore...
Due to line troubles beyond... We return you now to CBS in New York.
Tracking stations show Godzilla heading in a southeasterly direction towards the offshore islands of Japan. He seems to be traveling in a straight line and on a predetermined course, though as yet we have no explanation as to why. Dr. Kenji Shigezawa, Minister of Defense, has been meeting with the Army Chiefs of Staff.
To recapitulate, the White House reported today attacks on the Hawaiian Islands and Manila in the Philippines, that there is a resumption of hostilities on a major scale. These reports from North Africa are interesting in the North African campaign, but of course the Far East still holds the center of the stage and will probably for some time. Here in the studio with me is Major George Fielding Elliott, Columbia's military expert, who will analyze now these latest developments in the Far East. Major Elliott.
The island itself is one of the most formidable maritime fortresses in the world. Heavy guns defend the port. Railway guns on tracks around the islands are able to be moved swiftly to any point. There is a very strong garrison which, even a year or two ago, numbered about 25,000 troops and probably now has been very considerably increased. There are powerful naval and army air forces on the island.
Here is a press association dispatch from Athens. The Greek War Ministry says that three additional categories of specialists and reservists have been called to the colors. At the same time, three categories of trained artillery reserves have been released. Now the news reported direct from the German capital. Go ahead, Berlin. Go ahead, Berlin.
We've had a report that policemen and firemen were ordered in a radio broadcast to go to Army and Navy posts immediately.
We return you now to CBS in New York.
Gentlemen. I think we know why we're here. Let us not waste any time. General Arnold, we'd appreciate your report.
Yes, sir. In addition to our initial findings, huge footprints, not unlike those of a turtle, leading from the area of the explosion to the exact spot of the destruction of the ship, and also where Captain Foster of our air defense claimed he saw the giant turtle. And during the last 13 hours, we have received reliable sightings of flying saucers, all fitting the identical description, starting over Nome, Alaska, proceeding to Saskatchewan, on to Toronto, London, Munich, Warsaw, and now Moscow.
General, are you inferring that these sightings of UFOs are related to the reports of a giant turtle, a horrendous monster right out of mythology?
I'm inferring nothing, Senator. I'm reporting facts as we know them. And I might add, that if UFO continues its pattern, it will be sighted next over Japan. I would estimate in 5 or 6 hours, or shortly before Dr. Hidaka is scheduled to land at Tokyo.
Dr. Hidaka? Does he have some standing in World Science Council? I've never heard of him. And I'm considered expert enough to head committees on nuclear fission and the like. Man should not be permitted to terrify the world with such distortions unless he is qualified to throw some light, some ray of light on these incredible reports.
The point is that Dr. Hidaka is eminently qualified. I have examined all the reports, including the transcript of the conversation between General Arnold and Dr. Hidaka shortly after the zoologist was rescued by one of our helicopters. It is evident that he is a logical man and one who relies on facts. And from what he learned about Gamera, as a result of his research
and the evidence at the scene of destruction, I respect his conclusion. Whether his knowledge is derived from science or mythology, both extensive.
Dear Mr. Secretary, you must agree that until more logical explanations are available, the public should not be informed of this factual evidence of supposed footprints of supposed monsters.
That decision was made by the Commander-in-Chief. I do know that if Gamera exists and did survive an atomic explosion, our world is about to face a calamity of enormous proportions.
Well, I, for one, will not be coerced by this schoolboy myth, the flaming dragons. And frankly, Mr. Secretary, I am disturbed. I am deeply disturbed to see that you have decided to go along with these alarmists.
Are you, Senator? Well, from the facts, I am quite concerned. Deeply concerned. And so is the President. General Arnold, has Dr. Hidaka offered any advice?
No, sir, there was none he could offer until he knows more about the creature.
Gentlemen, I think we're in for a time of it. General Arnold, you're relieved of all duties at the command post and will take this assignment, the Gamera operation. Report directly to me.
Yes, sir.
Now, gentlemen, if you will excuse us, the President is waiting.
Now standing by in the Italian capital to give you the latest news from there. Go ahead, Rome.
Bombing didn't disturb them. And also no poison liquid that we've been able to use so far.
And also, the heat ray they emit from their mouths. It's more powerful than anything yet known to man. It can turn the earth into molten lava, and we have absolutely no defense against it.
If we could only get them back on land, we could use missiles.
That's right. They've got to be eliminated. But first, we've got to get them out of the lake.
There's one way to get them out. It can be done with sound waves. Gappa are extremely sensitive to certain sounds, more so than other animals. Listen. That sound is unpleasant to human ears. You heard it at about 12,000 cycles. But if we raise it to 30,000 cycles and send it through the water...
Do you think it will really work?
At the very least, it will get the Gappa out of the lake.
Now the news reported direct from the German capital. Go ahead, Berlin. This is Columbia in New York. Go ahead, Berlin. We regret, ladies and gentlemen, that we are unable this morning to contact our correspondent who was supposed to report from Berlin this morning.
And we just heard by telephone that Washington has news of a State Department announcement. For that report, we take you now to Washington.
The details are not available. They will be in a few minutes. The White House is now giving out a statement. The attack apparently was made on all naval and military activities. Such an attack would naturally bring a counterattack. The President's brief statement was read to reporters by the President's secretary.
The major cities in the world are being destroyed one by one by the monsters. Moscow by Rodin, Beijing by Mothra, and London by Manda. Paris by Baragon. Here's a special news bulletin. Godzilla is now in New York City.
Now the two special Japanese envoys are at the State Department, engaged in conference with Secretary of State Hull. Their appearance at the State Department emphasizes the gravity of the Far Eastern situation, where hostilities now seem to be actually opening over the whole South Pacific. And just now comes the word from the President's office that a second air attack has been reported on Army and Navy bases in Manila. We return you now to New York and will give you later information as it comes along from the White House. Return you now to New York.
Columbia, of course, will interrupt any of its regularly scheduled programs to bring you bulletins and important developments on the news as it develops in Washington, and as we receive reports from our correspondents, the press associations and affiliated stations in the from the danger zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed a message that came in from Grover's Mill by telephone. Just one moment, please. At least 40 people, including 6 state troopers, lie dead in a field east of the village of Grover's Mill, their bodies burned and distorted beyond all possible recognition. The next voice you hear will be that of Brigadier General Montgomery Smith, commander of the state militia at Trenton, New Jersey.